From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In Brussels today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice appealed to NATO foreign ministers for more help in Afghanistan. Rice said the U.S. wants its allies to send more troops and to increase funding and other support. NATO has fallen about 20% short on the troops it pledged.
The Bush administration is planning to ask Congress for $10.6 billion. Most of that would go to bolstering the Afghan army. The hope is an increase in American support for Afghanistan will encourage other countries to be more generous. The State Department's Nicholas Burns said today that the funding request reflects an increased threat from the Taliban.
There is a problem of forces coming from Pakistan into Afghanistan to attack and then to return to Pakistan to seek refuge and refitting. We, of course, are working very closely with President Musharraf and with the Pakistani military and the Pakistani intelligence services to see that Pakistan will do more and make a concerted effort to strike at those terrorist training camps.
There has been growing pressure on Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf. U.S. and Afghan officials say the tribal areas along Pakistan's border are a haven for a resurgent Taliban launching attacks into Afghanistan. NPR's Philip Reeves is in Islamabad, where he's been assessing Pakistan's response.
On one matter, many agree. The Taliban's growing much stronger along part of Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. And on another matter, some agree. Some of these Taliban, who are crossing into Afghanistan, receive support from Pakistani intelligence. This is denied by Musharraf, and it would be hard to verify, not least because Pakistan's government enforces a media blackout in the tribal belt. But some people are willing to make this claim openly. Among them, Nahid Khan, a leading light with the Pakistan People's Party and an opponent of Musharraf.
I'm blaming all the intelligence agencies of Pakistan. I have no scare from them. But intelligence agencies are involved in it.
If you talk to people in Islamabad, some say if the intelligence agencies do have ties with the Taliban, it's understandable. There's a third matter on which many in Pakistan agree. While Musharraf admits al-Qaeda and Taliban are present in Pakistan, his supporters and opponents believe too much blame for Afghanistan's insurgency is laid at Pakistan's door. They say this is deepening already widespread anti-American feelings.
Pakistan is being made a scapegoat in this for their own failure.
That's Information Minister Tariq Azim Khan.
This is the problem. They keep telling us that Pakistan is not doing enough, but nobody has so far defined what enough is.
That's pretty much where the agreement ends. When you ask the crucial question, what to do about growing militancy in the tribal areas, the picture clouds. Military force, including airstrikes on suspected militant hideouts, hasn't worked. Civilians have been killed, and so have hundreds of Pakistani soldiers. In fact, the use of force is widely believed to have strengthened the militants. A peace deal struck by Musharraf with North Waziristan's tribal elders last fall hasn't worked either. Cross-border attacks into Afghanistan have risen. So now the search is on for other solutions. This man believes he might have one. He's Hamidullah Jan Afridi. He's from the tribal belt and has a seat in Pakistan's Senate. He says the focus should be on the tribal people.
If you sometimes go over there and you just see how pathetically they live over there, they need schools, they need roads, they are very much eager for the development activities.
More than 3 million people live in what's known as the Federally Administered Tribal Areas, or FATA. Pakistan's parliament has no power to pass laws there. Political parties are not allowed to operate. Samina Ahmed of the International Crisis Group says some of the laws that do apply, left by the British, are barbaric.
Collective punishment of people, collective responsibility of tribes. This is not where Pakistan should be in the 21st century.
The tribal people are often portrayed as gun-mad mountain folk, religiously conservative Pashtuns who hate outsiders, oppose change, and will always fight foreign occupation. Samina Ahmed sees this portrayal as simplistic.
Do you think that people there don't have televisions? Do you think they can't travel to Peshawar? Why would people who live in Khartoum, especially young people, want to live with this state of affairs forever? They are clearly resentful. They don't want to live in the dark ages.
Ahmed believes the answer is to extend political and civil rights to the tribal people and to invest. As for the militants, she says they should face the same rule of law as any other Pakistanis.
Arrest them. Take them to court. charge them, try them, and sentence them. That will have much more of an impact.
For now, Pakistan's government appears to have other priorities. It says it's sticking to recently announced plans to block the main mountain routes into Afghanistan. Information Minister Tariq Azim Khan again.
The only way we can do it is to fence it and to mine it, but at the same time put properly marked routes and checkposts so the civilians who want to cross over legally should have no problem at all.
But in Islamabad, there is one more thing on which many also agree, and that's this. Mines and fences won't deter militants. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.